Welcome to the program God and Country, a program that discusses issues facing our nation in the light of the Bible. This program is a teaching ministry of Harbor Bible Fellowship Church in Central New Jersey. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The subject for today's program is Islam, a religion that's making a big impact in the world. Islamic terrorists claimed the lives of over 2,000 Americans in the collapse of the World Trade Center. The war on Islamic terrorism in Iraq and Afghanistan has claimed the lives of at least 5,000 American soldiers, 40,000 wounded. The war has cost over $1 trillion and has been going on for 10 years, the longest war in U.S. history. In addition to Islamic terrorism, there is the spread of Muslim clerics and mosques and ideology throughout Europe and Africa, and to a much lesser extent in parts of America. The objective of Islam is the conquering of the world and America through the sword and through dawah, stealth indoctrination, and to replace every other religion with Islam. The battle cry of the Muslim Brotherhood is this: Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. There is just so much heresy and error in our world, and then to have to add Islam on top of it all. Where did this religion come from, and what is the role it plays in the plan of God? Let me just review some history here. In the year AD 570, a man named Mohammed was born in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. At age 40, he thought himself to be a messenger of God, and he started a small following. It didn't take off until he moved to Medina. There he was able to form an army and subjugate under his control the various Arab tribes. Mohammed used the sword to conquer. In one event, he ordered the massacre of 600 Jews. In Islam, the sword is the key to heaven and hell. A drop of blood shed in the cause of Allah is of more avail than 2 months of fasting and prayer. If you fall in battle, your sins are forgiven. Jihad is a religious duty. Now compare this to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus told Peter, "Put away your sword. All who take up the sword will die by the sword." Jesus also told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world, otherwise my servants would fight." Jesus taught that the battle for men's hearts could not be and should not be won through violence. But the way of Muhammad is the sword. Muhammad was also known for his sexuality. He was married to 13 women and had many concubine slave wives. The Quran and Hadith is very specific about Muhammad's sexual life. If you read the accounts of and the justifications for his various women, you would be shocked. It is totally foreign to the Christian teaching on marriage and respect for women. If Muhammad was living today in America, he would be arrested as a polygamist, pedophile, terrorist. The Quran itself is a book of poetry about the life of Muhammad, Arab morality, and views of God. It doesn't hold a candle to the 66 books of the Bible. It definitely lacks the spiritual insights of the Bible and the Bible's unique message of redemption by the sacrifice of the Messiah. As far as the doctrine of Islam, in Islam there is no original sin. Everyone is born innocent and without a fallen nature. Man is still good enough to merit heaven if he lives right by following the seven pillars of Islam. If you repent, you will be accepted by God. There's no need for a savior. In Islam, Allah would not become a man, nor would Allah die for the sins of mankind. In Islam, Jesus is only a prophet and not the very Son of God incarnate. Islamic theology has a much different view of God's love and compassion. In Islam, God only is loving and merciful to those who live according to Islam. In Christianity, we read, "God so loved the world, and he loved us while we were yet sinners." And in Islam, the relationship between God and man is master-servant. In Christianity, the relationship is father-son. In Islam, the key word is submission. In Christianity, the key word is freedom. In Christ, we are no longer slaves, but sons. Do Christians and Muslims worship the same God, only by a different name? No, the character of Allah is different than the character of God as recorded in the Bible. What God is interested in is the right characterization of who he is. Islam is a legalistic religion like all the other world religions. And with that legalism comes the same kind of self-righteous pride and cruelty that was seen in the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day. While Christ's salvation by grace and faith breeds humility and compassion, the natural outgrowth of legalism is pride and hatred. You can even see that in evangelical churches, when they leave the gospel and become legalistic, pride and hatred enter in. But it's the legalism of Islam that deeply offends God, for they reject the gift of God's Son and his sacrifice for sins on the cross, and instead teach human perfectibility through religious deeds. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul wrote about in reference to Judaism. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes." Like so many in this world, Islamists are going about to try to establish their own righteousness. In fact, many Westerners who say they are Christians and use the name of Christ have turned Christianity into the same religion as Islam. For they too have rejected the gospel and believe salvation is earned by being a good person. But since they're born in a Christianized country, they practice their self-righteous religion in a Christian context. But I've always said about this crowd that they have a religion of convenience. If they were born in Japan, they would be Buddhist. If they were born in India, they would be Hindus. If they were born in Saudi Arabia, they would be Muslims. But in that they're born in America, they are unsaved people who espouse a self-righteous works righteousness under the name of Christ. It is all the same, going about to establish one's own righteousness. If that describes your religion, then you need to learn what the true gospel is all about. There are only two religions in the world: Christianity, which teaches salvation by Christ alone, and everything else, which teaches some form of salvation by human merit. Islam is just one of those world religions that teach salvation by religion, with an added aggressive, political, nationalistic, cultural Arab element. Now, if you read the life of Muhammad compared to Christ, it is hard to imagine how this religion could capture the imaginations of so many people in so many nations. What is the draw of Islam? Well, legalism and religion does sell in every culture. Every people group want a religion by which they can feel good about themselves. Remember, man's primary rebellion to God is not atheism, it's religion. The second commandment prohibits idolatry. And the commentary God gives on this commandment is that those who make idols hate me. The mistake people make is to think that these world religions are a sincere attempt to seek God. And even though they're misguided, oh, they get an A for effort. But that's not the biblical picture. Religion is man's hatred of the true God, and man prefers to make up his own God and call it the true God. And these false religions do not furnish the world the slightest benefit. Religion and legalism give no power of righteousness. And world religions are just as immoral as Western atheism, but in more subtle ways. But there is just as much lust, just as much drugs, just as much greed, but all under the guise of self-righteous religion, which makes the sin worse. Sinners love to hide their evil deeds under the guise of religion. Islamic polygamy, abuse and subjugation of women, appeals to the flesh of immoral men. The 70 virgins that the Muslims receive in paradise from Allah appealed to the men that Muhammad inspired to fight for him. But beyond man's propensity for religion, Islam became popular because it appealed to the imperialistic aspirations of the Arab people. It is a religion that justifies dominance and the conquering of other nations. This was the religion for the sons of Ishmael, the Arabs. Islam held onto the monotheism of Abraham, but placed Ishmael above Isaac, and Muhammad above Isaac's promised descendant, Jesus the Messiah. Islam met the need for power and importance, to achieve victories, to be powerful over the West, to be something in this world, to make headlines. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 12, the following is prophesied about the descendants of Ishmael. He will be a wild donkey of a man, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all of his brothers. That is a telling prophecy. It doesn't have to be that way for all the descendants of Ishmael if they turn to Christ. But this is the propensity. And Islam is a religion that has systematized that aggression into a religion for the Arab people. So these are some of the reasons why Islam is so popular in the Middle East. But here's another question that we should look at. Why are so many on the liberal left cozy with this legalistic religion called Islam? This has been a question that has been bantered around since 9/11. I'm not even making this up. Everyone, including the left themselves, know that the left is very apologetic and complicit toward Islam. Liberals in the current administration refuse to call the war on terrorism. They refuse to call it Islamic terrorism. They refuse to admit that the recent terror plot in the United States had something to do with Islam, assuming that the Times Square bomber must have been part of the Tea Party movement, not part of Al-Qaeda. And they would rather students learn the seven pillars of Islam than the Ten Commandments. This affinity toward Islam must flow out of liberal ideology. First, secular liberals don't believe in sin. So the terrorists can't be evil. They must be motivated by economic oppression. And since socialists believe that all the wrongs in the world are caused by capitalism, American capitalism must be the fault. Islam must have taken down the trade centers to protect themselves from capitalism. It is capitalistic exploitation of Arab oil that must be the cause of terrorism. Liberals will not even consider that Islamic terrorism is driven by Islam's evil desire for world dominance and control. The left is paralyzed from making correct moral judgments by its insistence on relativism and the belief in man's goodness. They are naive to their own sin, and hence they are naive to the sins of others. That is one of the many reasons they make excuses for Islam. Another reason, I believe, why the left and Islam find common cause is that the secular left wants to supplant Western political, economic, and cultural values, as do the Islamists. They both have a common enemy, America and Christianity. And the enemy of my enemy becomes my friend. So it's no surprise that the liberal left has an affinity for Islam. They all have a common spirit, even though Islam is for legalistic morality and the left is for moral license. I was reading one author who pointed out that the secular left in Europe is silent about Islamic oppressive treatment of women because the European white secularists also abuse women with divorce, adultery, prostitution, pornography. Both the secularists and the Muslims treat women as an object of sex. So it's no wonder they agree. European men might actually like Sharia law, which would allow for them to have harems. But how can it be that liberals back Islamist when it seems Islam is opposed to their atheism? Because in the end, the enemies of Christ, secular and religious, band together, there is a common spirit. Legalism and licentiousness are one. The only explanation for the left's love of Islam is an attraction on a spiritual level. The legalistic religions of this world are joined at the hip with the secular atheists of this world, because they are both in rebellion to God. Herod the religious one and Pilate the secularist both became friends when it came time to crucify Christ. But what I really want to talk about today is why Islam. The sovereign eternal God, the creator of the universe, knew and planned that Muhammad would arrive and start this world religion that would sweep up millions. It is evident that God allowed for Islam to judge the nations. God allowed Islam to rise up in the Middle Ages to be an aggressor against the European Christian society that had fallen into hypocrisy, greed, and apathy. And now in the 21st century, God has allowed the Muslim nations to rise up again, to amass great wealth by giving them oil under their soil. The Muslims believe the oil is a sign of God's blessing upon them. but it may not be for blessing, but to empower them to afflict the West. We find in Scripture that God always uses the wicked to judge the wicked. As in the Old Testament, we see the example that God empowered Assyria and Babylon to judge the nation of Israel. The Jews could not figure out how these heathen nations gained so much success and power. But God says to Israel, I raised them up so that they would be my rod of discipline. And after I'm done using them to judge you, I will judge them. Under King Solomon, Israel reached her golden years. But then Solomon sinned against the Lord and brought into Israel all sorts of pagan idolatry. Then the Lord punished Israel by raising up three groups of terrorists against the nation of Israel. 1 Kings 11, we read, So the Lord said to Solomon, Because you have done this, you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Then the Lord raised up adversaries to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the royal line of Edom. God also raised up another adversary, Razan. And Razan gathered men to himself and became a leader of a marauding band. So he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, along with the evil that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Aram. And then in verse 26, then Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, also rebelled against King Solomon. The kingdom of Solomon had no peace in her apostasy because the Lord raised up Hadad, Razan, and Jeroboam to terrorize Israel. Terrorism against America is because God has removed the hedge of protection from America. After 9/11, Jerry Falwell made the comment that Muslim terrorists were God's judgment on Western immorality. Everyone was up in arms over this statement, but he was right. This does not at all excuse the evil of the terrorists. But if America was moral, and there wasn't so much filth coming out of Hollywood, the Islamic extremists would have a hard time justifying their actions to their supporters in the Islamic world. And the first way to solve the problem of terrorism is to take away from the terrorists their false moral superiority and justifications. That is for America to turn from her sin and to begin to live moral, upright lives. Let me give you another purpose for Islam. It must have something to do with God's plan for Israel. There is a prophetic role these Arab states play in persecuting Israel. There is a divine reason why God has allowed the Mosque of Omar, right on the Temple Mount, to temporarily prevent the building of the next Jewish temple. The prophecy in Genesis 16 is that Ishmael would be the progenitor of an antagonistic nation against Israel. I don't believe Islam is going to be the Antichrist kingdom, as some are now saying. But Islam, in its hatred of the Jews, will be some sort of catalyst to bring on the scene the Antichrist kingdom and his promise of world peace. Finally, one of the purposes of Islam involves the church, the people of God. After all, this is what the world is all about, to redeem a people for God's glory. And all that happens in the world today is to mature and perfect the elect of God. Islam is a false religion allowed by God to be an object lesson to the true church. In preparation for this program, I have thought about and prayed over the question, why Islam? I've also consulted with other believers. And I believe that the answer is that Islam is God's showcase for man-made legalistic religion. It is God showing the world and his people the character of legalistic man-made religion and where it leads. I have just finished reading Peter Hitchens' book, The Rage Against God, How Atheism Led Me to Faith. He writes that the Soviet Union was faith in the greatness of humanity and in the perfectibility of human society. And it was a cruel nightmare. The left was actually glad to see it go because it was a constant reminder that godless socialism doesn't work. But in thinking about Hitchens' comment, it occurred to me that with the threat of communism diminished, the new showcase of evil is Islam. For 70 years, the world saw the tyranny of the godless communist state. Now in Islam, the world learns the cruelty of legalistic, self-righteous, man-made religion. The one error exposed atheism. The other error exposes legalistic religion. As communism made us sick of atheism, Islam makes us sick of religion. And if you need a verse to back this principle up, that God allows oppressors to teach men about sin, 2 Chronicles 12:8. But they will become his slaves, so they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the country. As America has become more and more immoral, I have observed the alarm coming from the evangelical Christian community. And it would be easy for the church to fall into some self-righteous, militant reaction to the taking over of our society by the secular, ungodly crowd. That Christians would take up arms and there would be a civil war between the Christians and the secularists. But the actions of Islam have been a good reminder to the Christian community that we don't want to be terrorists. The testimony of Islam has made violence repulsive. Islam has become a good example of a bad example. And 9/11 will always be the testimony of the nature of Islam throughout all history. And even if they succeed in building a mosque at the site of the World Trade Center, people in the future will look at that mosque and be reminded this is what Islam does. And the testimony of Islam is also a warning against certain fundamental Christian sects who are digging in their heels against the immorality of our society by turning to legalistic rules to help keep their members straight. But when the Christian community sees the fruit of legalism in Islam, we are reminded that we don't want to go down that road. It reminds us what makes Christianity unique, the freedom and power we have by the Spirit of God. As Paul wrote, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So in the eternal plan of God, God allowed Islam to arise in the world to perfect our understanding and love for Christ, to teach us the nature of sin. Finally, what will happen to Islam? Islam will fall, and the conqueror will be conquered. As it says in Isaiah 33, "Woe to you, O destroyer! As soon as you have finished destroying, you will be destroyed." As Ronald Reagan said, the Soviet Union runs against the tide of human history by denying human freedom and human dignity to its citizens. And therefore, communism will wind up on the trash heap of history. I believe the same can be said about Islam. The polygamy, the slavery, the despotism, the desolation will come to an end. And in that this prophet Mohammed claims through his followers to be a higher prophet than the Lord Jesus Christ, Mohammed will not succeed. For it's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. God will defend his own character and God will defend his son. This imposter Mohammed will be judged. We must be vigilant against the false teaching of Islam. But in a short time, Islam will implode. But how can the Christian faith win against the sword of the Muslim faith? Because we have a greater weapon. The Spirit of God and the Word of God is mightier than the sword. And although the Muslims think that they are sending their people to the West to convert the West, little do they realize that Islam is no match for the gospel of Christ. Millions of Muslims will be won to Jesus Christ. Well, this is all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. This has been God and Country Radio with your teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. You can contact us at godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again and check out our archives. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, the name of your Son has been challenged by false Christs and false prophets, which you yourself said would arise in the last day. Please be merciful to this world and expose the error and exalt your King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.